I've definitely been having more like coronavirus related dreams.
Oof.
Like halfway through the dream, everything is normal. And then I realize that like everyone is around me and they're too close and they're not wearing masks. And I like panic and wake up.
Yeah, the stress dreams are super real right now.
Yeah, it's unpleasant. And I usually have my cat with me, but since I'm down here and I don't have her, and I was like feeling really sad last night, and I went to my closet, like my childhood closet, and found like a stuffed animal, which felt kind of embarrassing, and slept with it. But I was like, you know what? Whatever. Like it's a weird time.
Yeah, I think we're all kind of reverting back to our like most basic self-care mechanisms that we've had for a very long time.
Yeah, trying to be gentle.
Yeah, I definitely ate an entire pint of double chocolate ice cream last night
Oh, hell yeah.
while sitting on the like floor of my kitchen, just chilling like late at night. So that's the kind of
Just
yeah,
normal
that's the kind
stuff.
of mood that we're all in, I think.
I feel that.
Yeah, so do you always use like a noise machine or an app or something when you're going to sleep, or is that kind of just when insomnia really hits?
I usually don't use it for me. I usually sleep with my partner who like really needs it, and I've gotten sort of used to it.
It doesn't bother you, though.
No, it doesn't bother me. We lived and when we were living in Cleveland, we lived on the intersection of like two super busy streets, and people would drive down the road like bumping their bases. And I could sleep through it like no problem. It didn't bother me at all. I was fine with it, but it kept them up all night. So we had to like have multiple. We had a sleeping, like a sound machine, and sometimes we would have the fan on, and we tried to get them like earplugs and all this different stuff. But then I got used to it, and when they would go out of town, I would sort of like not be able to sleep without it anymore. So I keep it on sometimes. But in general, I'm a pretty sound sleeper, but now that I've gotten used to it, I do like it sometimes.
Om Organ Akashvani nighttime traffic about 8:30. I don't have that much trouble sleeping anymore, but when I was like a little kid, the thing that would always get me to bed when I couldn't sleep was listening to baseball games. There's something really like very even toned about baseball games on the radio. There's this kind of just dull roar, and then these guys talking kind of calmly. And I was listening to the Mets, who are a terrible team, so they always lost. So the announcers were always kind of chit-chatting instead to kind of
Right.
fill time. So it was like a very chill talk radio with like 30,000 people in attendance. But then of course like I got old enough where my bedtime was after the games ended. So my mom actually tape put like recorded a bunch of them on cassette tape. And
Oh.
I'd listen to the cassette tapes, which I think I'm gonna play during the show, 'cause like kind of have
That's
to.
awesome. Yeah, no, that's a great story.
Dark is standing in the rear of the batter's box. He's in his first World Series. As a matter of fact, this was his first Major League full season. 2-2 the count on. Feller stretches, pitches. There's a ground ball, a slow one that goes towards shortstop, and that's going to be a hit. Runners on first and second. Keltner tried to intercept it. Boudreau went over to cover third. It seemed to be an accidental infield hit. Runners on first and second. Feller threw a fastball that was inside about belt high. Dark started to swing and tried to retract his bat, but the ball struck the handle, and it went very sharply to the left of the mound, but it had only the power to carry it about 75 feet. And Keltner rushed in fast to try to intercept it before it reached Boudreau, and there was no throw. And immediately, Sam Zoldak, a left-hander, starts warming up for the Cleveland Indians. Two successive hits have been few and far between for the Boston Braves in this series. The infield is in, looking for the bunt with Torgerson up. And he hits a drive to right field. Judnick goes over fast, takes it, and both runners go back.
But are they, like, and my mom actually, I was talking to her about this, and she usually doesn't like any sound to like go to bed to, but she will like listen to sort of very boring podcasts to fall asleep. Do you ever like listen to music or listen to podcasts as you're kind of trying to drift off or like fall
I've
asleep at the
tried this
TV
podcast
watching
like when
TV?
I've had when I've gone through periods of time where I've just had lots of anxiety and I can't fall asleep. I've tried those like very boring podcasts that are designed specifically. The thing that I listen to is the Headspace app, but like the free trial version. There's a couple guided meditations that they do that like you're not supposed to fall asleep to. But I put them on because the guy's voice is like very soothing and like very quiet, and I play those on repeat until I can fall asleep, which is not what they're designed for, but it works.
Sit comfortably in any position that suits
originally lived in southeastern Missouri, like the Boot Hill area, the part that borders like Missouri and Arkansas. And that's very rural, so you didn't really have a lot of noise from your neighbors, at least not at night. Like the noise you would hear there would be m maybe interstate noise or like train noise was pretty common. When I was in high school, we lived in a pretty rundown house, and there were possums that were able to get in through a hole. And so they were like in the basement or like under the floorboards. So you could hear them like scratching around. And that part wasn't too bad. But sometimes they would like, I don't know if they were fighting because they weren't like squeaking or making whatever noises they make, but you would just hear like, it'd be pretty quiet. And then you'd hear like, and it would sound like something around. And then it was like quiet out again. But also like when the power goes out for me, if I hear that, like the sound of electronics powering down is enough to like wake me up. And that's a pretty faint sound, I think. I wasn't making very much up until really May of last year. So we basically just kind of took whatever housing we could find, which meant the houses were usually pretty close together. A lot of the neighborhoods in Kansas City are like kind of squished together. We live north of the river now, so the houses are a little bit farther apart, and noise is less of an issue. But for the longest time, we lived in like the central part of the city. Like when we first moved here, I didn't have a job, so we basically got the cheapest apartment we could find. So that was pretty noisy. So I bought a house late last year, and when we were looking, we weren't trying to move out of the middle of the city. It just happened to be that like the house that we could afford ended up being north of the river, where it's less crowded. But like I also know that who can and can't buy a house isn't just determined by money. Like, obviously, like, there's clear studies that show that it's harder for Black people, even if they have the same amount of money or even more money, to move into other neighborhoods and stuff. And so, like, even though noise wasn't the motivating factor, like, it's certainly a thing I notice and think about the fact that, like, there are other people, like, who would benefit from this, or, like, kids who live in really, like, noisy, unstable environments who would benefit from it, be able to study better, and like they just don't have access. If it's like this for everyone, but I deal with anxiety a lot, and so sometimes like it's not even that I'm blocking out noises that would wake me up, but I'm blocking out noises that my brain would like latch onto and then start worrying about, like was that sound the sound of somebody like at the window or the door, or like did the cat get into some sort of trouble and like hurt herself? And like none of these things are ever the case. Like they're complete unreasonable things for my brain to be doing at the time, but like if I hear them, my brain immediately like spirals and like worries about like all the possibilities for the sound. And so there's some amount of basically the white noise helps like keep my brain from being able to latch on to those things, or it completely blocks them out. It's kind of similar, like on the other side of that, whenever I do yoga, I really like this sort of fan noise or like an even droning noise. It just really helps me get into that, like my brain is turned off. The only thing I'm focusing on is like what it feels like to be in my body right now. And I feel like white noise or like fan sounds and stuff like that really help me personally.
Thank you. Well, you know, actually, I hear a lot about people losing sleep because of stress, but for me, it's been okay. I guess just I'm able to sleep because I'm so tired.
When you're going to sleep, do you use a kind of like noise-making device, app, fan, etc.?
Well, you might have seen on Facebook me complaining about how I have neighbors who used to be kind of really noisy all the time, and one of the, I guess the guy who lives next door, his voice is super low but also kind of big, so it would really go straight through the walls. And because I've been staying home a lot, apparently they've been staying home a lot too, but I would just always be hearing his voice all the time. And there were several occasions where he would be talking in like kind of big voice like all throughout the night, which was driving me a bit nuts. Even though I'm officially in the 23 wards of Tokyo now, and it is definitely more urban than where I used to live, the area where the apartment is feels a bit quieter. Like it's not all tall buildings jam-packed next to each other. Like it almost feels kind of suburban. And this apartment is new, so it was built like end of last year, and I think everyone moved in around the same time. I haven't actually met the two next door. Like I had kind of seen them from afar, like when I was already closing my door and then they're coming around the corner. And then I just haven't even seen them since like March. Like I actually really like deep voices normally, like if it's a friend that I'm talking to, pretty seductive, I guess. And I love singers with deep voices. But when it's someone who's next door and talking loudly all the time when I'm trying to enjoy quiet or whatever I'm doing, then it was getting on my nerves. But especially like being woken up at, well, first of all, I could hear his voice when I was going to bed, and then he'd still be talking at 2:30, 4:30, one time from I got woken up at 4 and he was still talking till like 6. And I was like, oh my God, what are you doing?
To the extent that you can kind of imagine it, what would be like the ideal sleeping situation? And I'll preface this by saying, I often think that like total silence will be the best thing to sleep to, but the problem is, for me at least, that even the tiniest sound then is like super apparent, and then my brain starts like thinking about what it could be because it's so silent out here. So what could possibly be like a good environment to sleep in for you?
I guess I kind of agree that I would have thought that silence is best, but then, like I mentioned, if my brain is too active, then it'll never shut up if there's no sound, unless, yeah, even if my body's tired sometimes. And I've had choir concerts where I've sung for over an hour or so, and then like this happens often. And then I would be looping the songs in my head for like hours and hours and hours. Like that night, like replaying the concert kind of. Probably like when there was no other sound in the room. And now that I've gone back up to where I sleep, like I have a clock that looks like a little hedgehog and his feet move, and I can hear a ticking sound from the clock. So because it's familiar and it's my clock, then that's like a welcome sound, I guess. If it's little and it's consistent, then it's okay for me, I guess.
Thank you.
It's been weird. I had a good sleep schedule going for a while, and right now it's not like totally off, like but it's just like I'm sleeping for like 10 or 11 hours.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Big
word. And honestly, like now that I'm sitting in my room and thinking about it, I think part of it is that I covered up the windows in my room.
Oh yeah, that'll do.
To make a background for a Zoom party I was having. And like my walls are like dark red from my goth phase in high school. So
no way.
There's just no light in this room.
This is something I've been interested in as like for people living with their parents, as I am now. My mom just came up here to the cabin. It's like, do you have like sonic privacy? Like, can you hear everything else that's happening in the house? Or conversely, do you feel like if you're talking on the phone that your parents can hear you? yes, is there something you'd like to bring up?
So I went up to Berkeley yesterday to my apartment to grab some stuff.
Okay.
So this is a question I've been asking myself, because one of the things I brought back was my vibrator. And so I'm like...
Oh, wait.
that is a... Oh, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. So I'm like, that is a question I am asking myself. Do I have sonic privacy?
Do I have... No, I just bought an electric toothbrush, and I like brushing my teeth in my room. Right? Perfect excuse.
Literally ask, because I do have an electric toothbrush, and I ask myself, like, is that an excuse I could get away with?
Yes. This is, that's hilarious.
But no, I'm definitely like, I think I am lucky. Like, I think I do, we relatively do have a lot of space, in that, no, it's one floor. And my mom spends most of her time like in the garage or outside. And, my dad like has an office that he goes to no one else goes to his office right now. So he can be the only one going there. So I do get like space to myself, but and like I have therapy appointments, and like sometimes like doctor's appointments. And I've felt, yeah, there was only one time when I was like, you know, my mom was like bustling down the hallway and I was like, oh God, like I need to talk about her. This is not okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm not in school at the moment, so I haven't had the like Zoom experience that a lot of like students are having. But I have been on Zoom because that's how I talk to my therapist. And usually I'm living here alone, but my mom came up because she normally lives in New York, and New York City is not a great place to be right now. But it's like, oh yeah, like. The walls are pretty thin. Our bedrooms share the wall behind me. So it's like, how do I do this therapy thing? And I usually, like, put on all my, like, all two or three of my fans at the same time.
Right.
That's my...
And it's definitely something... Because ever since you, like, brought this up and, like, you know, mentioned wanting to have a conversation about it, it's something I've been sort of thinking about in my mind. Well, right now it's not like a huge concern for me. Like I'm in the South Bay where things are a little more spread out. Definitely like a big part of, yeah, like the white noise machine. It's about creating space for yourself, right? Like creating a bubble of space.
That you have some control over too.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was, so for the past 2 years, I actually coincidentally like quit my job just before quarantine started to take classes and apply for med school.
Oh,
so okay. Like I had been saving up, and so like I was like oh, like I'm so glad I'm not working right now. If I had been doing my old job right now, like that would be. So I was working in San Francisco for the homeless outreach team as a case manager, which I'm very glad I'm not doing right now, because I mean, I love my clients. I love the work that I was doing, but you know, there's this idea like trauma stewardship, like how are we supporting our clients in processing trauma without taking on secondary trauma ourselves? And I think I got, you know, I built up a good tool set for that. And then towards the end of last year, I had some health problems that like, I'm fine now, but like, it was just like an added stress where I was like not dealing with things very well. And I was like, okay, like, I think it's time for me to recover from all that stuff. And something, I mean, I have had to process a lot, like whether some of the like stress and like trauma stewardship skills I've picked up, like sometimes I'm like, you know, am I getting better at this, or am I just like compartmentalizing and like shutting down my sense of empathy? But no, I think, you know, you can have like a sort of functional empathy where, you know, you relate to people where you need to and where you have the capacity to. And yeah, we have to keep living. We got to take care of ourselves. And that's how we can take care of others. Start with ourselves.
So other than studying for med school, what's getting you through the day?
I started digging a hole. No, that's productive. That is something I've been doing, because every other form of exercise has been eluding me, but I just got really into listening to podcasts and digging this hole. I think it might be a pond one day.
Okay, what implement are you digging with?
Well, there's a shovel, but there's other things too that I don't know what they are, but my mom gave them to me when she saw that I was digging a hole, and she was like, you're doing this very badly. Like, here's a thing to help loosen the soil, and here's a thing to clip away the roots. I don't know what they're called.
There is nowhere to go. This is just a question out of personal interest, because in living with my mom again, I'm not playing music on my speakers as much. So out of respect, I'm playing it on my headphones. But then
that's nice of you.
But then I keep getting into this situation of like my mom trying to talk to me and I have headphones on, and I feel like,
oh my god, yeah, because I have Bluetooth headphones. I have Bluetooth headphones, and like my mom doesn't try to talk to me, but my dad does.
and then it's kind of like, should I just play music out loud that you won't like, or am I just not allowed to listen to music as much as I normally do?
You put more thought into, you're very considerate, because, you know, yeah, I guess communication is the way to deal with that, right? Like, just like asking her, like, like, how do you feel about that? For me, it's just like, I don't know. I think I've just been a little, grumpy with my dad.
Oh no, I've definitely been grumpy.
Not in like, it hasn't even been an antagonistic way, but like he'll try to talk me, I'll be like, what? Or like even if I kind of hear him, I'll just ignore him, because I'll be like, you know,
headphones.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm listening to a very important podcast about, you know, season 3 episode 1.
It's like a 7-year-old episode of a podcast about a show that came out 3 years ago. It's kind of like having headphones in is like another way that we kind of like control our sonic environment. And like, at least for me, like my emotions are really kind of easily modulated by music and podcasts, or like I use them to do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have ADHD, diagnosed late, just diagnosed right after college.
Oh, great. Perfect. Just in time.
I know. Yeah. Super helpful. Yeah. Definitely like stimulation, you know? Mm-hmm. When I was depressed, it's like you can listen, you can like watching your like Spotify, like year end catalog, you can sort of like see like those phases of depression where all you listened to was like Sophie, I listened to is like rock straight on. Up.
Yes.
Had like a whole like 6 month period where I only listened to like PC music. Just like to get myself to do things is like yeah. It's like 2015 was like a solid year for me, and like it's fun to sometimes see those years where like you can see the catalog of like, okay, this is when I had like a Bollywood radio show, like this is when I like spent the summer at Oberlin. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, depression.
It's like, oh, that's that time that I got really into sad, soft folk music. Cool.
See, for me, I can't listen to sad music when I'm depressed, or like slow music, or like low energy. Like, it's just like unbearable for me. Like, it has to be like emotionless hyper pop.
So Sophie, in so many words.
Yeah, she's perfect. I love her.
Lemonade. Oh my god, listen to that on like repeat.
It's unreal how I don't know. Like I feel like that must have done something to my brain to like that I listened to that one track just like probably for like a couple hundred hours of my life. Wow. You know.
Nice. Improvisation happening these days, kind of through lack of leadership, but still we're all kind of improvising this unbelievable situation.
But I'm glad to be out of the city, which is nice. Me too. And getting a little bit of like, you know, fresh air and just getting to be around nature a little bit more, which is really helpful for me. To kind of stay calm and more grounded.
Do you use a noise machine to sleep, or does your partner, or does your child?
We don't. Wilder, my son, has one that we use, and sometimes, like in the past, when I've had like a lot of anxiety, I'd like put on like recordings of like wind or water, like at work. But
background
like,
noise.
For me, like, yeah, it works best for me. Like, I think if it was like, I might if I was like by myself.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's sometimes challenging, like, if you're like sleeping in the same room with someone else, like, yeah. Then I'm still like, so whoever comes up with like a set of headphones that is so small that you can sleep with them in, and not have them either hurt when you sort of roll over onto them, or
yeah,
or you know, fall out or whatever, is gonna, you know,
make millions,
be my hero. and make millions. I mean, I don't know how big the market is for people that want this, but I would love to be able to, because I love to like even fall asleep to listening to music.
Yeah.
But there's always the problem of like, you know, I like turn sort of flop around a lot in my sleep, and then you like wake up and you're like tangled up in a set of headphones or like.
We're maybe getting closer with those like very small Bluetooth headphones. Like at least you don't have to be connected to the object that's streaming the audio.
Totally. Like, I mean,
but then
you
it's
know,
where do you put the transmitter, which is kind of a bulky thing, or kind of comparatively.
Yeah, I mean, there's something like that. Like, I don't know, whatever, the AirPods or something.
Yeah.
Or just got reduced again by 50%. Like, it could almost just sit sort of in your ear.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I don't sleep now with any type of noise or noise machine.
And what sort of machine do you use for Wilder? Is it just like I know a lot of people use humidifiers or fans, or is this kind of a dedicated noise machine?
Well, we used to have a little dedicated one that was like just like a little sort of puck type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then now he has another one made by a company called Hatch or something. Good. But it's also the reason why we got it for him was that it also like has like a I forget what they call it for kids, but like a wake to light to wake, like where there's like a, you can program it so that it turns on different like colored lights at different times. So when he's sleeping, it's like a dark orange or sort of like little glow, like very dull glowy orange, and then after 8 o'clock it turns green, and that means like, so he can see it and know like if it's not green, like it's not time for him to wake up.
That's really nice.
I mean, different kids sort of respond differently to whether or not they care about what, you know, whether they're like, you know, but
still thoughtful.
But yeah, he's like pretty good with that, where he'll just like say and wait. But yeah, I haven't ever found like any of the noise machines to be like as good for like sort of relaxation as like more organic noises.
Mm-hmm.
And
we have a stream out behind our house, and like when I'm feeling like I have a lot of trouble like setting my own schedule for all this freelance work or when I have it. And so when I'm all kind of stirred up in my brain, I go down to the stream, and I've kind of moved rocks around so it's extra sort of bubbly where I sit. And there's almost nothing. Well, there's I notice a lot of like the noises that disturb my and other people's sleep tend to be ones that we don't have any control over, or that we can't change. Like you, like especially in cities, being like neighbors or you know various machines, and you know like having control over one's noise machine. You actually have a control, you can sort of add to it, and it's not really about the volume of noise, which I think a lot of people are like, noise is loud, but noise really isn't. It's just sort of like how we relate to right. it and whether or not we feel yeah. in control. So as soon as we, even if you're sensitive to noise, if you add, you know, enough noise to cover it up and kind of smooth it out a little bit, then we can concentrate or go to sleep or, you know, not hear these private conversations where we're
right. It's just like speed. Like you can't detect speed. You detect acceleration.
Mm,
like,
that's a really nice analogy. I like that.
Like you detect those like spikes.
Yeah, the change
in the noise level.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to. My mom's a. Both my parents are artists, but my mom was more of like a active.
Isn't your mom working in India for a while?
She had a Fulbright there for a year. So, yeah. But that was while I was in college. But I like grew up going to a lot of art openings, and the sound of an art opening, I think, would be perfect to go to sleep to. It has like, they're always packed. Like, it's no matter how, I mean, art galleries just aren't that big. And so there's just this kind of like murmur hubbub that yeah. like never changes. And then there's like maybe some wine glass clinking or the plastic right. wine cups or the little glug, glug, glug of wine. And that's, it's like, it's so consistent. It's like the same like year after yeah. year. I got to record it one day.
That is beautiful. You know what the worst sound in the world is?
Oh, tell me.
The ER.
The, like,
or an ICU.
Oh, like the heart monitor beeping, or like just like the
yeah,
whole.
Yeah. Thing? So have you ever been in like an intensive care unit or anything like that?
I've passed by one, but I've never like spent like significant time in one.
Someone in your field needs to like fix that. I mean, I've read an article about it before, about like how the soundscape of an ICU is actually damaging to people's health in so many ways. But like I would have to go in there when I was a case manager, you know, like I'd get a call on my clients in the ER, or like, you know, I'd go be visiting my clients when they were patients, and it would like, it was so.
What sounds
I walk would, in.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
And there was this funny door. I don't know. It was almost like a sealed something, you know, they would have to like buzz me in and the door would open and I would just like freeze. And partially it's the monitors, you know, there's like the monitors that are just constantly beeping and beeping. And
are there announcements? Paging?
That's a part of it, but there's just, sorry.
It's like, it seems like it's viscerally affecting you or like, yeah. you're like really like,
oh, yeah.
I feel it.
I remember like walking in and like, you know, you hear like, I mean, there's also just, I mean, this like the sounds of people
in pain, potentially
in pain. So that was a part of it, but the sounds of all of the machines are just, it's like, it's chaotic and it's unnecessary. Like, you know, like I've read articles on how like the noises that are made by all of these machines are like just actively like work against how we process sound. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's like, they don't really help. Like the idea is to create an alert, like for the nurse to be able to say, oh, something's wrong, right? But yeah. like, because it's this chaos, it's hard to distinguish what's wrong. And it's also, it's traumatic for the people who are in there to have to be subjected to that.
Yeah, there's
constantly.
No.
And then I just, yeah.
There's no.
But I just remember this one time, like, something was happening. There was some sort of an alert over the paging system. Mm-hmm. And the way they decided to broadcast it was by just, like, the most horrible screeching noise. Like, it was, like, an on purpose. It was some sort of a signal for something. But it was just, like, you know?
Mm.
Just, like, every time I would walk in there, I would literally have to, like, I would pause and I would have to be, like, like, I'm not,
yeah,
like, I'm not in danger. Like, I don't know what it was, like, triggering in me. And it's, like, yeah, there's, like, people, like, screaming and, like, police and, like, whatever and, like, but, like, the worst of it was just all of those mechanical sounds.
My dad has COPD from smoking for his whole life. And so he's actually weirdly off oxygen now, but was on it for a couple years. But that I have a few recordings of his breathing machine. And, like, it's, I was listening back to it, and it's a really, sometimes it's comforting, but often it's, like, a really disturbing kind of, like, rhythm sound, like, to just have going on all the time. It's, like, quite, I don't know, they're just, like, all these machines that are, like, they're, like, maybe have some functional sounds, but, like, for the rest are just, like, could maybe be designed, like,
they need to hire some Tamara grads for those medical machines. Yeah. I swear to God, like, it's seriously, like, it's a health concern. Like, a psychological and just, like, these beeps that are just unnecessarily, like, abrasive. Just all of these sounds. I mean, I have a cousin who is a psychiatrist, and her specialty is, like, just, like, the trauma that happens when someone is in the ICU, you know, because of, like, just the disorienting nature of being there. Because it's, like, I mean, there's so many things happening in those settings, but it's really just the fucking machines that get me.
If you're, like, going deep, deep on noise, there's, like, a lot of analogs to acoustic noise in the visual world. And the parallels are actually extremely, extremely close in some ways. Like, so...
Like, well, the example that came to mind was the adding of sort of film noise to...
Yes. So people spend a lot of time talking about film grain and emulating film grain.
Could you kind of describe what it is for someone who wouldn't know?
So the thing that's really interesting about film grain is it's actually just an accident of the photochemical process. I mean, the actual pieces of film emulsion have sort of clumps of, depending on the type of film, if it's like black and white, it might be like I think it's silver halide crystals or some sort of silver crystals. But basically, they're like lots of little dots, you know, little dots of varying sizes. Mm-hmm. In the actual film is not, it's not like a perfectly uniform flat thing. It's like, it's sort of like made of lots of little clumps, almost like a piece of sandpaper or something.
So even if you had a totally blank frame, potentially you would even still see,
yeah,
that,
like, if
grain.
if you pointed it at like a perfectly cloudless sky, you know, mm-hmm. something that has no texture. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of random noise. And for color film, people spend a lot of time trying to chase down that look. And part of that is sort of nostalgic in the, you know, people have noticed that a lot of the films from the 70s and the kind of the golden era mm-hmm. of film like actually look a lot better, you know, and trying to figure out like, well, why is that, you know? And there's a part of that that's just simply nostalgic and trying to recreate this past mm-hmm. Medium. But and people will go to extreme lengths to do that. So, you know, the project that I'm working on right now, the most expensive plug-in that does film emulation can cost up to like $30,000, $40,000 per film. And
that the entire function and of all that it's plug-in
doing
does
is
what?
Adding.
Yeah.
But the fact that the grain is appealing is actually just sort of an accident, but it's a happy accident with film. It's something that is worthwhile looking at visually, even that has nothing to do with actual film.
No one has exactly broken any hit records, but he's patrolled the outfield very effectively. He's a left-hander. Here's the pitch. Strike call. That caught the inside corner. The last time Potter pitched here in Cleveland was in late May when he worked for the Philadelphia A's and he pitched four relief innings scorelessly. There goes a long fly ball to right field. Holmes is going back, and that one is a home run. Mitchell belted a fastball at the 380-foot mark deep into the standing crowd. And I seem to recall Mel Allen's having said something about pyrotechnics and fireworks. The Braves are warming up two pitchers, and Larry Doby is up. The first pitch, high, ball one. Warren Spahn and Red Barrett are warming up for the Boston Braves. The score, 3-1, the Braves leading. There was the fourth home run of the series. The pitch... There's a ground ball that goes to Stanky. The throw to first base. Doby is out. A sharp ground ball. Stanky moved over into the hole between second and first. And here's Lou Boudreau. You probably can sense through your radio loudspeakers that this is not only the most enthusiastic crowd of the series, but also the largest. Boudreau has three hits. 15 times at bat. He's a right-hander, and the first pitch is outside, ball one. Incidentally, these two are both from Illinois. Nels Potter is from Mount Morris in the eastern part of the state, and Lou is from Harvey. Foul ball. That goes back into the stands, and the count is 1-1. There are 789 members of the Working Press and Radio here, and 137 photographers, not including the telegraphers. Unofficially, we have been told that this is the largest World Series delegation